When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jaden Sterling, international best-selling author of the award-winning book, The Alchemy of True Success. And welcome to Soul to Profit Radio, where my guests and I share tips and strategies to help you, the enlightened entrepreneur, take your business to the next level. So make sure you grab paper and pen to write down these amazing tips and strategies that we're going to share with you to help you fill your soul and your wallet. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Soul to Profit Radio. I am your host, Jaden Sterling, and I am live, streaming in live from beautiful British Columbia. It's a bit of an overcast day today, but that's okay. You know, we've had a pretty warm summer, and it's kind of nice to have a relaxed sky out there that is allowing for us to not feel like we have to be outside every minute. And staying inside to get things accomplished, and that's what we're going to do today on today's show. It's about money, 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 money. And because we know that money is an important component of having financial freedom, and that is the theme for the month of August, is freedom. And we're going to talk about how to make it work for you. Now, if you'd like to call into the show and get some advice as it relates to your biggest money challenge, please do. You can dial in to area code 626-231-0306. And if you're in the United States, you can call toll-free at 877-633-9454. Again, those numbers in North America, area code 626-231-0306, or call in the States, toll-free 877-633-9454. When you do, hit the 1 button on your phone, and that will indicate that you have a question and you want me to take your call. So, have a really amazing show for you today. I'm going to dive into the aspects of money and how to get it to work for you rather than you working for it. Although I do have a short disclaimer to share before today's show, and here it goes. The show is not intended to give legal or financial advice, nor is its host, Jaden Sterling and Jaden Sterling Incorporated, can be held liable or accountable for any investments you choose to make or not make. Please regard today's show as food for thought and hopefully to encourage you to explore these concepts and ideas further. However, should you reap huge financial benefits from Jaden's suggestions, feel free to send him a check. Okay, here we go. Now, on with the show. I'll start today's show off by saying your level of income is less important than your financial IQ as it relates to your ability to have money work for you. And let me say that again, because it's really important that you hear what I'm saying. Your level of income, which means, you know, how much money you make or don't make, is less important than your financial IQ as it relates to your ability to have money work for you. So all of the things, and I'll explain that in a moment, all the things I'm going to share with you today, you know, you'll definitely want to get paper and pen in hand because I'm going to give you some really powerful suggestions. And I know some of you listen to my show streaming live while you're driving or traveling, which is great, but you'll be able to listen to the replay and you'll definitely, I think, want to write some of these down. Now, a high financial IQ consists of understanding some very important basics when it comes to money. In fact, a high financial IQ can very easily lead to high bank account balances and high earning potential. Now, as all of you know, IQ is your intelligence quotient. However, a more meaningful word for IQ, I believe, is understanding. So my intention today is to assist you to increase your understanding as it relates to money. And I'll share with you some money truths to help set the stage for today's show. Now, some of these may seem very simplistic. Please do not underestimate the power of simplicity as it relates to money. It doesn't need to be complicated. If you've listened to my show long enough, you know that I think anything that is overly complicated is not the way to go. You know, that we can enjoy our lives and even have a high degree of mastery within our lives and don't have to have it overcomplicated. It can be really, really simple. So today I'm going to break a few things down for you and hopefully make them simple enough that will take the kind of the scary thing out of money. You know, a lot of people have this idea or belief that money is kind of scary and it's something beyond them and you know, there's not a high comfort level or they don't understand it. And as we believe we don't understand things, that scares us away from trying to master it. You know, anything that you don't understand doesn't really get mastered. So hopefully today's show will take some of the scariness out of money for you and help you increase your level of understanding around this energy called money. Now, in the past, of course, I've talked about the energy of money. Today's show is a little different. I'm going to get into some very practical and sound financial strategies and understanding and beliefs around money. So hopefully, you know, you're going to listen to this 45-minute show today, and when we get off the air, you can sit down and go, wow, I never thought about money that way, or wow, you know, maybe I can implement one or two of these ideas and let me see how that could change my financial picture. Because we know that anything that is given attention or focus gets handled or gets accomplished. And that's really important as it relates to anything in life, you know, whether it's relationships or money or health, that, you know, it has to be focused on and it has to have some attention given to it in order to make the changes that you desire. So, you know that this is simply an invitation to start you off on the right path or a different path as it relates to money and your relationship with it and whether or not, you know, you can get money to work for you. And I believe, and I think you will too at the end of today's show, that you certainly can get money to start working for you and you can start working way less hard for money because that doesn't have to be the dynamic set up. You know, a lot of how we go about our day and our relationship with money is based and rooted in our belief system. And for most people, that came from growing up. You know, you saw your parents relate to money in a certain way, or maybe you didn't see them talk about it, or maybe you felt the stress in the household around money. And it was only when you asked for something that you were told no, or, you know, who do you think you are? Money doesn't grow on trees. Or, you know, you were given some kind of negative feedback regarding something that you wanted that cost money. And by that, depending on your age, you know, if you were anywhere from 5 to 9 years old during those really critical years and you were told no because of something that cost money that your parents didn't have or that, you know, they didn't budget for and you weren't given an explanation, just that situation will set up a disconnect for you or a misunderstanding of what money is and how to get it. So hopefully this will debunk some of those old beliefs and let's put some new perspective on your relationship with money. So here we go. The first money truth is it doesn't matter how much money you have. What matters is how you use your money. Now, money can be something that provides you with material possessions. You can use it to fund trips around the world, buy expensive homes and fancy cars. or it can be something that provides you with peace of mind, security, and comfort. Now, for most people, it's one or the other. And what determines which it is for you is basically the answer to the following question. And the question is, how comfortable are you with money? Do you enjoy having money around you? Are you comfortable seeing it accumulate in your account, in your bank account? Or is your life in such a state that whenever you get extra money, something happens for it to leave you? You know, think about it. Take a moment and think about it in your life. Are you more comfortable spending money or saving it? And that is, you know, that's a really powerful question. Are you more comfortable spending money, meaning releasing it as soon as it goes out, as soon as it comes into you, if letting it go, you know, where you don't have what I call that stickiness factor, that palm stickiness factor where it can stick to you and stay with you and start helping you? Because money can only start working for you after you start becoming comfortable with having it around you and having it build up in your checking account or savings account or your financial account at a financial institution. So it has to start accumulating a bit around you and near you. And it's okay, you know, I know we're in such a debit card transaction society and worse, credit card transaction society, that very few people have any more connection with money. Most people who have jobs get it direct deposited into their bank account, and they don't see it. They don't see cash. We've lost touch with our connection with money, with the actual physical thing called money. And I think it's really important for us to get back in touch with that connection of money. So I suggest every week or every time you get paid or have money come into your account, allow yourself to withdraw some of that cash. You know, maybe it's just $100. I have at all times 100 U.S. dollar in my wallet and 100 Canadian dollar in my wallet at all times. I don't spend it, but I keep it in there because I like to remember my connection with cash, with money. And, you know, so that will start to remind you, okay, and something happens within the brain psychologically that when a credit card is used to purchase something, it doesn't set off the alert system in your brain to let you know you've lost something. So when you're paying for something with a debit or a credit card, even though with a debit card it comes right out of your account, you still hand your card to the clerk, and they, after they swipe it, they hand the card back to you. So you're not fully, particularly with credit cards, you are not, it's not having that same connection in the brain that something is wrong because you've been given something back. Now, if you pay for everything with cash, if you bring out enough, you know, cash weekly in your wallet and you decide that that's the amount of money you're going to spend, think about it. How many times have you thought second, you know, gave it a second thought before you purchased something? Like, oh boy, that I'm actually going to, you know, I'm not going to have this cash any longer after I spend it. It's powerful. It's amazing what happens when you get back in touch with cash. It reignites your relationship with money. So that's the first thing, is figure out for yourself, are you someone who is more comfortable keeping money, or are you someone who is more comfortable spending it? And number two, no matter how much money you earn, you will never get money to work for you until you learn to spend less than you earn. Now, for most people, they try to keep up with the Joneses by spending all the money they earn and then more by using credit cards. And folks, as you know, this is never a good idea. You will never get ahead in life financially or learn how to get money to work for you. You'll never break that cycle of working for money as long as you are using credit cards. And worse yet, the credit card system is set up in a way for you to make minimum monthly payments that are barely enough to cover the interest expense on credit cards. And so that what that means is every month you're not even paying down your debt that you owe in that credit card. You're just simply paying off some of the interest, and not even all of it, because a lot of credit cards now charge anywhere from 12 to 24% interest. And if it's compounded interest, that's even worse, because what that means is the interest expense is increasing each and every month. It's compounding in a way that it will take decades for you to get that credit card paid off. And the credit card companies know it. They know it. It's set up that way for a reason, so that you can keep paying them on and on and on and never fully pay off that debt. So if you are in debt, please hear me with this. You have to stop the cycle of spending on credit cards. So this is the first thing you can do. What I recommend, get a bowl, some kind of bowl that you can stick in the freezer, like a Tupperware container. Fill it up with water, put your credit cards in there, stick it in the freezer. That way, you haven't cut up your credit cards in case of an emergency, but what you've done is you've stopped using them, because it's going to take a while to thaw those out. I mean, you're going to think twice about reaching for that credit card to buy something on it, because you're going to have to either thaw it out or stand there with a hairdryer and wait for the ice to melt or whatever. So that is a way to energetically freeze your debt so it doesn't increase, and also physically to freeze the debt. Energetically, it freezes it, and physically. Then you can start to go, all right, wrap your mind and make a list. Do this on a spreadsheet. Write your credit cards, which ones you have, the balances of the credit card, the phone number of the credit card company, and your interest rate you charge, whether or not that interest is compounded interest or what's called simple interest. And make a spreadsheet of these and look at your credit card, the credit card debt that you have. And this means from gas cards to retail cards to MasterCard, Visas, and all the other debt that you have too. Student loans can also be included in this, but they're usually generally a lower interest rate. Car loans can be lumped into this. If you own your home, put this on the spreadsheet. You want to start getting clear about how much debt you have, who you owe the money to, what their phone numbers are, and what the interest rate is. Now, this is why you do this. As long as you have a history of paying your monthly interest payment on time, and you haven't been late, you've been able to maintain those payments, you can start calling your credit card companies and negotiating a lower interest rate. So now, sometimes, I think now, though, in 2014, if you've been a really good paying customer and you have a high interest rate card, like 24% or 22%, and you never knew that you could do this, and now you realize, okay, wow, I can do this, if you call them and say, look, I have a credit card, I'm paying 24% interest on this, please, what can I do to get a lower rate, or what would it take for you to lower my interest rate, or who do I need to call or talk to in order for you to lower my rate? Oftentimes, the customer service people are not able to make those decisions, but the managers are. So when you call in, say, I'd like to speak to a manager. When is a manager available? And then tell them, look, I have my MasterCard with you. The rate is 24%. That's out of control. I have other cards where they only charge me 12 or 10. What needs to happen in order for you to lower my rate? And see what they say. Now, if they say, we can't do that right now, we have to wait a bit, that's okay. In your spreadsheet, write down the date that you made the phone call and what that person said. And then 6 months later, go back and call again. Or you can wait a week later. Sometimes it really just depends on who the person is that you get on the phone to make these changes for you. You might just have gotten someone on the phone who was having a bad day and they didn't want to help you out. But you can be diligent about this. That's the most important thing. And you can do this with anything that you have, anything. Car loans are relatively low interest rate, so you that may not work with a car loan after you've signed a financing agreement with them, but it does work with revolving credit cards, revolving lines of credit with any credit card, as long as it's a consumer-oriented card. Works like a charm. Check it out. It'll save you a whole bunch of money. And then what I recommend doing is take your credit card that has the lowest balance and work toward paying that off and then cutting it up. When you start to take control of your debt, rather than having it control you, you start to gain your confidence around money, and you can start to see, wow, okay, I can do this. I can do this. So look at all your credit card balances, and on your spreadsheet, you're going to write the balance that you have on that credit card, and then work toward a goal and get your family involved in this. You know, if you have a significant other, talk to them about it. If you have children, talk to them about it. Say, this is what we're doing as a family. We're working toward having financial freedom, and in order to do that, we have to stop spending so much money. We're going to stop using our credit cards. And if you start educating children at a young age about money, wow, they will have such an easier time with it going forward than if you just choose not to. You know, if you were ignoring it or doing it outside, you know, get everyone to work together on this. It makes it a whole lot easier, and it's a lot more fun. You know, you can even create a little chart and put it up on your refrigerator, and it's your, you know, it's a little chart to show how much you have in debt, and then when the debt gets lowered by $1,000, and you get to go out and treat your family for a nice breakfast or something inexpensive. Notice I didn't say dinner. Treat your family, you know. So you got to have, as you have a little wins along the way, you need to celebrate those wins, because the more you celebrate the good things that happen around money, the wins around money, the more it's going to reinforce with you and your family, your children, that good things happen with money and that those are times to celebrate. So you create a very positive connection with money rather than a negative one. Okay, so that's the second idea. The third idea is that you will never earn more or less for your products or services than you believe you are worth. That's the reality. In fact, your financial worth is tied to your emotional worth. Those with low self-esteem tend to have less money and less opportunities come their way. However, those with a solid self-image and strong self-confidence tend to take more risks, charge more for their products and services, and in return, they earn more. So oftentimes, if you're having a struggle around money, you know, if you're questioning yourself as to what to charge for your products or services, or if there's confusion around that, that is an emotional self-confidence issue, rather than a financial one. Because you can look at any product or service out there on the market, and you will see, for the most part, a huge variance in terms of what is being charged for those products and services. You know, a lot of people I know who listen to my show are solopreneurs or entrepreneurs, and a lot of you are coaches, just like I am. I'm, as many of you know, a business coach. And I've been told that that business coaches can only charge a certain amount for their products and services. And I don't believe that to be true. My belief is that we can charge what value we bring to our customer. So if you are bringing a tremendous value to your customers based on your products and services, and they get a lot from it, then you have every right to charge a fair amount for your products and services. I mean, that is the truth of it. So please know that there are no steadfast rules about what you can charge for your products and services. It's based on what your belief is And what is, you know, if you have a full practice and it's a vibrant practice, it's thriving, and you're getting referrals, and you know, you're bringing more and more people online who are finding your work, then that's a sign that you can increase your prices. And you don't have to wait for a month, or you don't have to wait for 6 months or even a year. You can do it in even on a month-to-month basis as you get busier and busier in your practice. Please don't wait to do that. Conversely, if you wait to raise your prices, let's say, you know, you're someone of a belief that you know, there's no way you're going to be raising your prices on your products and services. And I worked with a client like this, and she owned a beauty salon. And she did not have a price increase for 6 years. Now, during that time, her rent was increasing from her landlord on her commercial space. Her distributors were raising their prices on the products that she was getting and using on her clients. And all of a sudden, she realized, oh my gosh, I need help. I'm not going to be staying in business much longer because my net operating income is nothing. Like, she was in the red and it wasn't necessary. And her prices were way too low. So we got her to raise her prices. And when she did, she had such a backlash from her clients because she had to do it in such a way that was dramatic because she was like 30% behind. So, and it caused her to lose some clients, absolutely. However, enough clients stayed and she rebuilt. Within a year, she got back to the same level of clientele at her new prices, which were 30% higher than what she had previously charged, and all was fine. But that type of situation doesn't have to happen for you and your business as long as you steadily raise your prices in the marketplace. Your clients will understand. Only, and this has been proven and tested, a small percentage might have a problem. It'll be less than 20%. Guarantee it. If you steadily over time are increasing your prices to keep up with inflation, to keep up with your rising costs of staying in business, then it's certainly fair within the industry, and you'll experience a small fallout. But by the new, what you've done there is created opportunity for new clients to come to you who will gladly pay for your services and at the prices where they are. And in 2 weeks, I'm going to talk much more about business and money, but I won't be able to do it on the show. Today is strictly money and your financial worth. But I wanted to share with you that is so important. So if you're struggling with what to charge for your prices, start looking at your level of self-confidence. And then how to do that is, it's a very simple technique and strategy. What you do is you pull yourself away, you know, literally try to visualize it's not your business, but it's someone else's business. And then you would say what you would recommend for them to charge. So you're kind of removing yourself from the equation. You're removing that emotional component from the equation. It's as if you're observing someone else's business, and then you're recommending what they would charge for their products and services. Try that and let me know how that works for you. Okay, number four, I highly recommend, in order to break the poverty cycle, you have to start saving money. And in fact, the key is to save at least minimum 10% of all you earn. And I actually recommend investing it in stocks. Now, let me talk a little bit about that. The stock market over any long period of time has given, on average, and this is the Dow Jones Industrial Average, that is the U.S. flagship market that people always compare investments to, the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Right now it sits at approximately 16,900, and I'd have to look it up, but it's close to 17,000, which is the all-time high for the Dow Jones. Now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is a basket of 30 stocks. And you can easily look up online, if you Google, what comprises the Dow Jones Industrial Average, it will tell you. It's companies like AT&T, Exxon, Xerox, IBM, GE, you know, big flagship Fortune 500 companies, actually Fortune 100 companies. I know that there's talk about adding Facebook to, or wait, is it Apple? And I'm getting confused now. Apple to the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Apple is they split the stock in June. It's sitting at $100 a share right now, and Apple is a stock that is talked about being added to that average. So as things change technology-wise and as companies gain in market value and market share, they then readjust the averages. And that's always a good thing whenever a stock is added to that average, because portfolio managers manage against that average. And a lot of portfolio managers, professional portfolio managers, manage mutual funds based on the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which means they have to then buy hundreds of thousands of shares of the stock in order to have it in their portfolio. So that is another way to invest in stocks. If you're not comfortable buying individual stocks, then start looking at good quality mutual funds. And the way to pick a good quality mutual fund is to look at who is managing that mutual fund. That is key. Look at the portfolio manager. Look at their track record. Long term, you want to be looking at hopefully the mutual fund's been around for 15, 20 years, and you can see what it's done during the last 20-year cycle in the marketplace. That's really important too. I prefer buying individual stocks. You know, from many of you probably know, I was a financial advisor with Merrill Lynch in my 20s and then went on to work for Citigroup, managing portfolios in the asset management division, and that allowed me to gain a lot of access to portfolio managers who manage billions of dollars for clients. And what I learned very quickly was, wow, the portfolio managers who do well will do well in an up market and in a down market. And that's really important. You know, the Dow Jones is sitting at its high. It's never been this high before. However, we need to keep this in perspective, because there are very few investment opportunities out there that are comparable to stocks and that are as liquid. So when I say comparable, I mean that are giving that type of rate of return. Over the last 100 years, the only thing that's outperformed the market performances, and again, that's the Dow Jones Industrial Average, are real estate and arts and collectibles. Antiques. That's the only thing. And the challenge with real estate is, as we know, it's illiquid, and it also goes through its cycles. You know, we saw in the States in 2007, 2008, the real estate market fell out, and then people were left holding a lot of debt with real estate. And then if you have arts, collectibles, antiques, things like that, at times it's difficult to sell them. You know, it's not the easiest thing to do. So that's why I love the stock market. It's liquid. I know at some point I'll have another radio show specifically for investing in the stock market. I'm happy to share with you what I know about it. And that is in my opinion, other than owning a business, it's the easiest and fastest way to get money to start working for you. And the key is to make monthly contributions into your portfolio. Now, it's not enough to hire an investment advisor or portfolio manager. The key is you have to be fully involved. You have to become active in the management of your own portfolio. That means meet with your advisor regularly, discuss your investment results, you know, make sure your portfolio is properly allocated. When I was a financial consultant with Merrill Lynch, my clients whose portfolio performed the best were the ones who were proactive with their investments. They came in to see me at minimum quarterly, and we reviewed their portfolio. They did their own research on their own regarding their investments. They had specific goals they wanted to achieve, and they achieved them. So please don't let because you have your money with I don't care how good this person is, financial advisor or whatever, they have a lot of, chances are they have a lot of clients. They work with a lot of people. And it's your money. And no one will look after your money better than you will. I mean, that's the truth of it. So start paying attention to what your investments are doing in your IRA accounts or in your RSPs, wherever you live in the world, and whatever type of investments that you have. Get clear about your objectives. So lastly, step number 5, get money to work for you rather than you working for it. Now, this step requires you to save money every month. We talked about that. Or as often as you receive money. You know, maybe you're someone who receives money daily or receives it only once a month. When I was an investment advisor, I only got paid once a month. So I had to learn to, you know, budget that way. And then clearly set defined goals for yourself and your money. And you can ask yourself this really important question. How liquid do I need my money? And the answer to this question will determine what kind of investments you can make. You know, for example, if you need access to your money within 6 months or less, you're not going to be able to make money investments in stocks or bonds or anything like that. But you can get a, you know, put your money in a money market or a short-term 6-month instrument such as a CD or short-term treasury and have it mature within the time period that you need it. However, if your answer is, you know, I don't need the money for 1 to 5 years or longer, you can easily invest in good quality blue chip stocks. There are many theories on how to find good quality companies. I don't have time to go into that today. I will, though, have a whole nother show based on that, you know, how to pick good quality stocks. I'll give you a couple tips, though. I go with companies that I enjoy doing business with. So in our portfolio, we have Apple, we have Facebook, we have companies that we already give our money to, you know, because we're a big Mac family. We love Apple. I love Facebook. I love how they've been able to change their marketing style. If you're on my email list, I sent an email out about that not long ago, about how they're capturing advertising dollars from people, and they're doing it in a win-win way. I just love what they're doing, everything about it. Google is another great company. You know, they're such a broad platform. LinkedIn is a fantastic company. And then there's a lot of new companies coming online like GoPro that have great products, a tremendous passionate following. But they don't have a track record because they just have gone public. So you need to start looking at these companies that you already enjoy doing business with. Chances are if you enjoy doing business with them, other people will too. And that's really the key. I mean, it's that simple. Then you have to look at, which I'll talk about in my show coming up in 2 weeks, you have to have the understanding that you make money when you buy, not when you sell. Now, I know that's a huge concept that will just make people's heads spin. I get it. But you have to start thinking that way if you want money to start working for you. You make money when you buy. That means when you look at buying into a stock, look at what price you're paying for that stock. Don't buy it at the market high because everything's cyclical. At some point, the market will go down and that stock will be cheaper. In 2007, Google, right before 2007, Google was trading for over $600 a share. I was completely liquid out of the market. The market crashed in 2007. Google went to $80 a share. I bought a boatload of it. And then within a year, it went back up to $350. I sold it at $350. I made tremendous profit with that stock, but I bought it right. And that's the key to any kind of investment that you buy. You have to buy it at the right price. So I hope you found this show helpful. Clearly, there's a lot of components to the aspect of getting money to work for you. The first one is having an understanding of your level of self-confidence and self-esteem and believing that you can get money to work for you, that you don't always have to work for it is huge, paramount, absolutely paramount in having that ability. The next thing is learning how to make the correct decisions for yourself. You know, getting to the point where you have an understanding of what your goals are, specific goals, you know, what you're striving to accomplish with money, what you want it to do for you, and then get comfortable with it. Allow for some cash in your wallet. Carry it around. Get a connection with it again. And learn how to spend less than you earn. This is huge, folks. Get that credit card debt paid off. Start taking these steps today. Educate your family. Work together on this. Kids love to be involved with this. They feel a part of it. And then they start to develop their acumen when it comes to finances and investments. It really does help, and it goes a long, long way. So if you need additional help, you know, I teach a wealth mastery course, level one. My foundational level is called B-E. We take a deep dive into what's been holding you back from creating a life of abundance, joy, balance, and harmony. In fact, it's experiential. We spend a weekend. We go deep with myself and only 12 students. I only work with 12 at a time because it's such deep work that we need that one-on-one time together. And during that time, we clear your money blocks, we heal your money wounds, and it's an incredible course. I offer a money-back guarantee if by day two you haven't had at least one major breakthrough and several aha moments, just ask for your money back. It's not a problem. I will tell you this, no one has ever asked for their money back. People have had such major breakthroughs from losing 50 pounds after the course to starting their own businesses to quitting a job they hated to healing relationships, strengthening marriages, manifesting money, and on and on and on. I only have one level one course left this year. It's November 7th through the 9th. You fly into Calgary, Alberta, and drive through the beautiful Kootenay Parkway to Copper Point Resort, where you'll stay in a luxury hotel for an amazing price of $89 per night. The course is only $495, and I have 6 spots left. To learn more about the Wealth Mastery Level 1 course, please visit Jaden Sterling, J-A-D-E-N, Sterling, Sterling.com, and click the Wealth Mastery Institute tab. It's life-changing. And I'd love to see you there. 6 spots left. Next week on the show, I have my dear friend Cindy Smith, the founder of the Angel Empowerment Practitioner Course in Calgary. She'll be doing live readings on the air. She will be here with me in the studio. So we're actually going to videotape it. And so we'll be live on the air, plus we're going to have a videotape of our time together. We have such a great time. You'll surely want to call in for a chance to win free tickets to our upcoming event, Sunday, September 7th. It's called International Angel Day. It's our sixth event, or sixth annual event for International Angel Day. It's our 13th event total, and we also teach courses together. You'll love her. I know many of you have already heard her on my show. I think it's the third time I'm going to have her back. And we did an event in Calgary in May. It was fantastic. It was called Manifesting with the Angels. We had 165 people attend, which was awesome because, you know, so many of us who work with the spiritual realms and angels often feel like we're alone. And boy, when you come to one of our events and you see a few hundred people in the room who are just like you, you know, they work with their angels, they work with their teams, they do angel readings, and it's like amazing when you start to understand that there are more people out there who are like you, like-minded, and the people that you get to meet will be lifelong friends. It'll literally change your life when you get to connect with these people who have the same interests and abilities like you. You're not alone out there. There are many, many people like you. We have people who fly in from all over for the event. It's at a beautiful brand new facility. So we're excited about that. And for more information, again, just go to my website, or you can visit CindySmithAEP.com. Click on her event tab, and it has all the information there for you about International Angel Day. So we're super excited about that. And in 2 weeks, so that means September 3rd, I want to continue the conversation about money and specifically as it relates to business. So if you're a solopreneur, entrepreneur, or business owner, you will surely want to listen in. And please share this show with your friends. You know, I love that our audience is broadening out and people from all over the world email me or tuning into the show and saying how much it's helping them, which is awesome. That inspires me to keep the show content on a very high level. Also, commercial free. I fund the show myself. And in order to keep doing that, to keep it commercial free, I need your support. So please, please share it with your family and friends. Tell them, you know, they can listen to the replays on iTunes. And if you like the show and you're getting helpful tips from the show and you enjoy it, please do me a favor and post a review on iTunes. That really does help move the show up in the rankings, and it allows more people to find the show, which is a win-win situation. I hope this show is helpful for you. Looking forward to connecting with you next week as well. Have a fantastic week, and remember, do those things that fill your soul and your wallet. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
When I listen to Audible, I'm not flying to my third sales meeting this month. I'm on a romantic date with my vampire boyfriend, Pierre. That pale skin, those dark, mysterious eyes, and those pointy teeth. Take me away, Pierre!
Ma'am?
I want to become queen of the night!
Ma'am, something to drink?
Water, please?
Go to audible.com/starttrial, and your first download is free. Audible, stories that surround you.